and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan.
You're watching Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. News that Convent Bukit Nanas has not been granted its land lease extension by the Federal Territories Land Office was met with public backlash in the past couple of days. Now, despite assurances by government that the 120-year-old school, girls' school, I might add, that will not be demolished once the lease expires, the question remains, will Convent Bukit Nanas be preserved for posterity? Let's begin our conversation tonight with Tengku Nurul Azian Shariman. She's the past president of Convent Bukit Nanas Alumni. Good evening, Tengku Azian. Thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. Now, I want to begin with some news, perhaps addressing the news that has come out throughout the day. We've had, you know, comments made by the Federal Territories Minister, Anwar Musa, saying that he's now weighing in. He wants to find out what he can do to preserve, to help preserve the school. What do you understand to be the latest in this issue?
Good evening. Thank you, Melissa. Okay, I'd like to firstly say that the alumni is extremely alarmed and rather devastated by the news that the lease on the land where the school sits has not been extended, because the lease expires in September this year. And as you know, a number of children have just returned to school after a long period. They've been away from school because of COVID-19. And, you know, they've just come back to school. They're just settling down. And now they find that, you know, the situation has emerged. And it has worried a number of the students, the parents, the teachers and the school community. Now, what we've heard from the minister is that the intention is to transfer the ownership of that land to the Federal Commissioners of Land. And the government is proposing to turn the school into a fully funded government school. I think the fear among the alumni is that it means that the mission authority will no longer be in charge of the school, but it would fall entirely under the purview of MOE. As you know, as a mission school, it's able to have a very unique governance structure, whereby it has a board of governors with representatives from the mission authority, the alumni, the PTA, and the senior school management. And the BOG, or board of governors, is the oversight body to oversee that the quality of education offering is excellent and is maintained at the highest level. And on top of that, it also, you know, ensures that the value, tradition, the ethos, and character is imbued. They are imbued, these very qualities are imbued in the students in the classroom, outside the classroom, through co-curriculum activities. And one of the key roles of the BOG is to appoint the principal. If that's taken away, then perhaps there's a worry about the quality of the education offering will deteriorate. Now, we've had excellent principals like Mrs. Manuel, Mrs. Vimala Matthew, and now our current principal is Mrs. Rossman. And they are good, and they brought the school to a very high level. And that's because the BOG has selected them, have taken due care in the selection of the principal.
Tukazian, if I can just interrupt you at that point. Do you think the concerns are premature? Because at this point in time, the Land and Mines Office says that essentially what they are going to do is to help maintain the building. And so this is something that they have clearly stated. There has been no statement to the effect that there will be any implications for this change in land ownership for the governance structure, the things that you have just mentioned. Is it premature?
I don't think it's premature because currently as a mission school, it's known as a government-aided school. That means it doesn't get full funding from the government. Now, any shortage of funding to maintain the school has come from the PIBG, and that's the PTA, and the alumni. And the alumni is incredibly strong. We've done a number of fundraising exercises to sort of close the gap in terms of funding. Now, if you make it a fully funded government school, there's a huge risk that the mission school status will be eroded or gone. And I think that's the really big question that's at the top of our heads right now.
Right. Can I just...
Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, Tukazian, go ahead.
I think the odd thing as well is that, you know, and this is a question of trust as well. I think there's an issue of trust here. Now, because the primary school is actually owned by the Mission Authority, parts of the secondary school is also owned by the Mission Authority. There's only one portion now that is under lease. So we're also not sure why, you know, it was not approved, because it's very difficult to actually, you know, take a portion out and say this is not part of the school, when you're already surrounded by various parts of the school, being the primary school and the other parts of the secondary school. So it's a very, very odd decision by the Department of Land and Mines. Yeah.
Okay. How is this going to, I guess, impact the students in the school at the moment? You raised that as a concern. So there are future concerns of what could happen in the future. But right now, how is it impacting students at the moment?
Well, as I mentioned, right, the our Malaysian students have gone through a really rough year. You know, they've had to go on online learning, and quite a number of them from the B40 have not had any access to education because of lack of internet and tablets, etc., etc. So they've all shared, like, say, one phone in the family. Now they've returned to school, and they're looking for stability. They're looking to going back to normality, and then this issue drops in and it's gained a lot of traction on the media. It's been talked about, the alumni. There's a huge buzz about the alumni about this. And it's very disruptive to their learning. And it's not just the students, it's also the teachers. And I think this is not the right time to do this to our children, which should be the core part of the universe of a school, which is to protect their interests.
Tukazian, you know, considering the luminous alumni that have, you know, that in fact, people, our governance and political life, do you think an appeal at this point in time could work? And are you considering that?
I think what the government should do is actually talk to the Mission Authority and actually find a solution forward. And I actually love what Tan Sri Rafida Aziz said. She said, you know what, you know, if a school is excellent, which indeed is Convent Bukit Nanas, why don't you not fund it? Because Convent Bukit Nanas is one of the few schools that gives opportunity to the B40 students to have access to quality education. Now, the B40 students do not have access to private schools, to international schools that the top 20 have access to. So you should fund the school, whether it's under the Mission Authority or otherwise, because you want to benefit those that don't have access to quality education.
Thank you, Azian. Thank you so much for speaking with us tonight. We appreciate you taking time to explain what's happening with the Convent Bukit Nanas situation. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
We're going to take a quick break here and consider this, but more on this issue in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned.